So today we are very, very fortunate to have Her Grace Paneeshwari Lakshmi Mataji with us. And she will be talking on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We are continuing from chapter 20 of Madhya Leela. Mataji, you can take over. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Hare Krishna, everybody. Thank you so much for this opportunity. So I will start with the pranam mantra first. please let me know if you can't hear me or if I'm speaking too fast. I have a tendency of speaking very fast. So if I say something you don't understand or if I go too fast, please do not hesitate to stop me and I will try to
Sure.
Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmahyam Padati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Sri Guroh Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Loita Sri Visakanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpata Rubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauru Tushe Namaha Moha Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagatitaya Krishnaya Sri Govindaya Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Namo Acharya Padaya Nitaya Krishnaya Budayane Gaurakada Damadaya Nagara Grama Tarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Jai 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 Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Mukham Karoti Vachalam Bangum Langayate Girim Tatkupata Maham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Nishwaram Om Tat Sat. So thank you for this opportunity, and I don't know about other speakers, but I myself can say that I become very nervous when I'm asked to speak. But I keep remembering what my Guru Maharaj said, that you remember that you're not speaking, that you're speaking the words of Guru, Sadhu, and Sastra. And so with that, I ask for their benediction and their blessings that I can speak a few words from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that can hopefully give some insight, maybe even some questions and inquiries, because as we know that the whole process of devotional service begins with inquiring minds, as they say. So we have to ask questions, and it's good to have doubts, because you have to have the doubts so you can ask the questions, so you can clear them and you can strengthen your faith. So that is one aspect, and the other aspect is, I feel comfortable that since I'm amongst friends, that if there are any corrections, you will lovingly and compassionately correct me, and we can all learn something. So with that, we'll start with the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 20, starting from verse 367. And we will do 367 through 377. I believe that's what it is. It is all about the same topic, about the avatars of Lord Krishna. So, with that, as we begin. Satya Vesha Avatara Krishnera Asanjya Ganana Digadarshana Kari Mukhya Mukhya Jana.
Translation.
They are unlimited Shaktyavesha avataras of Lord Krishna. Let me describe the chief among them.
Shaktyavesha duirupa mukhya gauna dekhi sakshat shaktya avatara abhasa vibhuti likhi.
Empowered incarnations are of two types, primary and secondary. The primary ones are directly empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are called incarnations. The secondary ones are indirectly empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are called vibhuti.
Sanakadinarda prudhu parushurama jivarupa brahmara aveshavatara nama.
Some Shaktyaveshavataras are the four Kumaras, Narada, Maharaj Prudhu, and Parushurama. When a living being is empowered to act as Lord Brahma, he is also considered a Shaktyaveshavatara.
Vaikuntha Sesha Dharadarye Ananta E Mukhyaveshavatara Vistara Nahyanta.
Translation. Lord Sesha in the spiritual world of Vaikuntha, and in the material world, Lord Ananta, who carries innumerable planets on his hood, are two primary empowered incarnations. There is no need to count the others, for they are unlimited.
Sanakadye jnana shakti, narade shakti bhakti, brahmaya srishti shakti, ananta bhudharana shakti.
Translation. The power of knowledge was invested in the four Kumaras, and the power of devotional service was invested in Narada. The power of creation was invested in Lord Brahma, and the power to carry innumerable planets was invested in Lord Ananta.
Seshe sva sevana shakti tridhutu palana parushurame dushtanasaka virya sancharana.
Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead invested the power of personal service in Lord Sesha, and he invested in the power to rule the earth in King Prudhu. Lord Parashurama received the power to kill rogues and miscreants. Report. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 4.8, Paritranaya sadhuna vinasaya cha dushkutam dharma samstapanardhaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Sometimes the Lord invests his power to rule in a king like Prudhu and enables such a king to kill rogues and miscreants. He also invests his power in incarnations like Parashurama.
Jnana shaktyadi kalaya yatra vishto janardanaha tavesha nigadhyante jiva eva mahattamaha.
Translation. Whenever the Lord is present in someone by portions of his various potencies, the living entity representing the Lord is called a Shaktyaveshavatara, that is, an incarnation invested with special power. This verse is found in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita 1.18.
Vibhuti kahye yaichi gita ekadase Jagat Vyapila Krishna Satyabhasa Abhasa Veshe.
Translation. As explained in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spread himself all over the universe in many personalities through specific powers known as Vibhuti. The expansion of specific Maya powers is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.7.39.
Yad vibhutimat satvam srimadujitamevava tattadevavagachatvam mamatejom sasambhavam.
Translation. Know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. Purport. This is a statement made by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita 10.41.
Atha bhav Bahunaitena kimnyatena tavarjuna vishtabhyam vishtabhyaham idam krutsnam ekam tena sito jagat.
Translation. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. So we'll stop there. The next
verse actually starts with the characteristics of Lord Krishna and his childhood and boyhood and youth. So I will stop there on that. So, okay, so that is so from 367 to 376. So as I was studying, I guess you might say, or preparing for this part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I became kind of overwhelmed, maybe a little more than kind of, actually. It is very, very technical. I don't in any way feel, qualified to explain. But with, you know, some of the Prabhupada's lecture that I listened to, I gleaned a little bit, and I'm hoping that I'm able to explain what I've understood from what I've read and what I've listened to. So, as it says in this section of the Bhagavad, of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are different types of incarnations. A little bit of a backtrack. So, this is Sanatana Goswami and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are speaking, and Sanatana Goswami has been given all this understanding and information about the different aspects of the Supreme Personality of God, his incarnations, his position, all of his different emanations, energies, etc. And so this part, he was talking about Satya Veshavataras, or empowered incarnations. And so as it's explained in this chapter, or in these verses, there are two types of incarnations. And so I had listened to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada, which was, it was given in, let me check, I wrote this down, in New York on December 31st, 1966. And it's actually about these particular verses. It's actually, the lecture starts from 367 to 384, but I just took the first part since that's the only part we are discussing today. And Srila Prabhupada actually gives some more understanding about these verses, which I thought was very revealing and also extraordinary. So it's the two types of incarnations that we're talking about, Satya Veshavatara, or empowered incarnations, are of two types, primary and secondary. And in the secondary also, there is a subset, which is called Vibhuti. So in the primary, these are directly empowered incarnations from the transcendental spiritual sky. And the secondary are indirectly empowered in this material world and by the Supreme Lord. And the Vibhutis are those individuals or those living entities who have a certain empowerment of a certain extraordinary power that's not found in an ordinary people. So in Madhyalila, actually, 2246, it's explained about the different types of Shaktya Veshavataras. So if I skip back and forth. Sometimes I get ahead of myself. I want to say something, and my mind tells me to say something, and my mouth runs away with itself. So a problem I have. So let me try to slow down. So Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that whenever we see some extraordinary power in somebody, then we should understand that is a specific partial representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And these are not direct Vishnu Tattva plenary expansion, but they are living entities which have certain Shaktis, and they are labeled as Shakti Tattvas. So they have certain potencies of the Lord that have been given by the Lord, and that's why these potencies are Shakti Tattvas. They are empowered for a specific purpose. And in the verse in Madhyalila 2:22:46, that is explained as to what they are. So I'll read this part. It explains a little bit about the different types of Shaktiaveshavataras, those that are direct, those that are indirect, and also those that are vibhus, or living entities that have been given the potency, aspect of the potency of the Supreme Lord. The Shaktiaveshavataras are categorized into, one, forms of absorption, Bhagavad Avesha, such as Kapil Dev or Rishabh Dev, and two divinely empowered forms, Shaktiavesha Avataras, of whom seven are foremost. So in these Shaktiavesha Avataras, this second category, they're divinely empowered forms, we have two different sets. One are the ones that are from the spiritual world, and the second aspect are the Vibhus, or those are living entities who have a specific power given by the Lord for a specific purpose. So, Seshanaga, divinely empowered forms, of whom seven are foremost. One, Seshanaga in the Vaikuntha world, empowered for the personal service of the Supreme Lord, Svasevana Sekti, and Anantadev, empowered to bear all the planets within the universe, Bhudharana Sekti. And we understand from our previous discussions about Seshanaga and Balaram and Sankarsana, we learned in the previous classes that all of the paraphernalia that is in the spiritual world are actually expansions of Sankarsana or Seshanaga in the Vaikuntha planet. So that's that aspect. And then we have Anantadev, who is empowered to bear all the planets within the universe. So we understand that he is actually upon his unlimited hoods, he is holding the power of gravity, holding up all the universes on his foot. Now the indirect, or the second type, which are both empowered for a specific purpose, are Lord Brahma, empowered with the energy to create the cosmic manifestation, which is Srishti Sekti, Chatushana, or the Kumaras, specifically empowered to distribute transcendental knowledge, Jnana Sekti, and Narada Muni, empowered to distribute devotional service, Bhakti Sekti. Now we know Narada Muni was originally a living entity, the son of a maidservant, who by the benedictions of the Mahabhagavatas, who blessed him, and also he was able to serve them and with their permission take their remnants, he became the famous Narada, as we know. So he's the Vibhuist. He has been empowered with the specific purpose of distributing bhakti. And we know Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, so many different living beings have been had a change of heart through his instruction. And then Maharaj Prudho, specifically empowered to rule and maintain the living entities, Palana Sekti, and Parashurama, specifically empowered to cut down rogues and demons, Dushta Damana Sekti. So those are the different types of Shaktiaveshavataras, direct as well as indirect, and those that are empowered living entities. Now, as Prabhupada explains in this lecture that he gave, that some incarnations are revealed in the scriptures. And he says that some are not. So he says principal ones are mentioned. But we can understand from the verse of the Smajalila of Chaitanya Charitamrita that it says that the Shaktiaveshavataras are innumerable. So there are many, but how do we realize, how do we know, or how do we recognize them? So Prabhupada explains in the lecture, that these other personalities, empowered personalities, can be understood by three things: by their symptoms, by their ability, and by their influence. And the main symptom that Srila Prabhupada talks about in this is that they come to glorify the eternal existence of the Supreme Lord. You know, they come to explain that there is a spiritual kingdom, and I have come to take you home. that is the Supreme Lord, we are all His children, and I have come to return to help you return to the spiritual world. So with that understanding, Srila Prabhupada explains that both Jesus Christ and Muhammad are considered Shakta Vaishavataras, and we respect them as such. We do not respect them as the Supreme Lord, because they are not. They are only Vipus. They are living entities who have been specifically empowered for a purpose, for a specific purpose at a specific time and place to help to not only proclaim the glories of the Lord, but to help the other living entities return to their original position in the spiritual kingdom. And he also speaks about their ability and influence. So we can see their influence has spread, both for Jesus Christ and Muhammad. And the other aspect that he explained about them is that they sacrifice everything for the Supreme Lord. So, as we can see, obviously, Jesus Christ was crucified. He, you know, and even on the cross, he said, "Please forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." So that he obviously did sacrifice. And what can you sacrifice more than your life? So he sacrificed his life. And Prabhupada also explains, actually, that Buddha is also a empowered incarnation. And we know he's empowered, and he came for a specific purpose also. He came to at least reestablish, stop the animal sacrifices, to put ahimsa, you know, to broadcast the philosophy of ahimsa. So that was his specific purpose. But Prabhupada explains that he actually exhibited the opulence of renouncement. So as we know, the Lord has six different opulences. Opulences of, beauty, knowledge, renunciation. Can somebody add the rest three? Please, if you want to admit yourself and actually be able to tell me what the six opulences of the Lord are.
Power, Aishwarya, we finished?
Yes, beauty, wealth, power, yes.
Fame.
Beauty, somebody say something else? Knowledge. Renunciation, one more. Forgot one more.
Okay.
I lost. Oh, you got them all now?
I don't think I got them all, Gaurangi. Tell me. I know I missed one.
Okay. I have to start from the beginning, otherwise, I'll get confused.
Go, please start from the beginning. Please.
Let me think now. Okay. He has all the knowledge, all the beauty. He has all the fame, all the renunciation. He has all the wealth. Did I say wealth already?
I don't think so.
And strength.
And strength. Right. Okay,
whatever.
Good.
I think that was six.
Yeah, that was six. That was six. I counted. Thank you.
Okay,
I'm gonna make sure you guys are listening. This is the teacher in me that's gonna ask a question every once in a while. Make sure I've still got you.
Okay.
So Prabhupada was explaining that he exhibited the renouncement aspect of the opulence of the Lord. So that was about Lord Buddha. So Prabhupada, as explained in the previous reading, so the Kumaras, they exhibited the aspect of knowledge. Narada, Brahma has, Narada and everybody else, we've spoken about their devotional service, the creative energy, and the law of gravitation. And also, Srila Prabhupada explains that the Vishnu expansions are partial representations of the Supreme Lord, are also Vishnamsas. So they are the empowered, Mahavishnu, Vishnu, they're all, the Vishnu Tattva aspects of those are the divinely empowered in the spirit, from the spiritual world. Okay, so now, what other aspects? Srila Prabhupada also speaks about, I said, three things, right? The symptoms, the sacrifice everything for the Lord, and which is the symptoms, which are to glorify the Supreme Lord and to explain about the spiritual kingdom. And also the second part, besides that symptom, there's also that they sacrificed everything for the Lord. And then the other requirement the requirement that comes is their ability and their influence. So with that, I actually want to speak about the symptoms of a Satyadeshavatara, and that avatara, that Satyadeshavatara that I would like to speak about is actually Srila Prabhupada. So as I was reading these verses in the Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, I obviously remembered Srila Prabhupada, and many times people, he would say he's a Satyadeshavatara and all these different kinds of things. And then how is that? And if we look at the qualifications that Srila Prabhupada himself has explained, that they need to sacrifice everything. The symptom is that they're glorifying the Lord, and they have come to explain about the Lord, the eternal kingdom, about God, that they sacrificed everything. We can see that Srila Prabhupada exhibits these particular qualifications. So first I'm trying to figure out if I should say, I think I'll go and I will just talk about, maybe list some of the qualifications of Srila Prabhupada, and then I'll go on to, oh my goodness, not much time. Okay, so at the age of close to 70, right, he founded the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. He got on a ship to come to the West to fulfill the message, the desire of his spiritual master. And continuously, he just proclaimed that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he does exist, the spiritual world exists, and that we are all supposed to return to the supreme to the supreme planet, to Krishna Loka, and that is our original position. Actually, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go here first. So I wanted to read some parts. As many of you know, we've been reading the Lilamrita. And as you read the Lilamrita, you can actually understand and you actually see how these different aspects of a vibhuti, or a living entity who's empowered with for a specific purpose, is behave, how you can recognize him. So I want to read a couple of Leelas, pastimes from different people who have been with Srila Prabhupada. So this one, I found one incident illustrating this quite striking in 1976 while Srila Prabhupada was staying in Honolulu, Hawaii. Some friends of mine visiting from Kona on the Big Island spent a night in the temple's front yard unable to sleep. And they found, it says, It is the first time since I have been with him over 5 months now that he has missed his evening rest. He worked all through the night, and after he went for his early morning ablutions, I checked his dictaphone and saw that he had notched 320 digits on the counter. Normally he does 50 or less. He was able to get 25 verses of the 8th canto done. Although he was almost 80 years old, he worked through the night to satisfy the desires of his spiritual master and Lord Chaitanya. So this is the sacrificing everything for the Supreme Lord. Another one that, this is from the Lilamrita. And in the Lilamrita, we see that Srila Prabhupada is in the process of trying to establish, we can see he's trying to establish three major temples all in the same period, Vrindavan, Mayapur, and Juhu. So all three of these major temples are being taken care, are being trying to become established at the same time. And in this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Lilamrita Chaitanya Krishna, in Lilamrita, we read an aspect of what Srila Prabhupada, about his sacrifice. It said, Prabhupada had taken similar chance. It said, now, as then, Prabhupada was suspicious, but he wanted the Juhu land, and he would take the risk. Prabhupada had taken similar chances. At Jhansi in 1953, he had occupied a building, although he had had little legal standing or financial security. And in his first storefront in New York, as well as in his largest building to date, the Vatsika Avenue Church in Los Angeles, he had moved in without assurance of the monthly payments. Practically, the entire success of his movement had come by his taking one risk after another for Krishna. So if some risks were involved in Bombay, that was only natural. So these are the personal risks. Srila Prabhupada was completely empowered, and that's why he can understand that he had to take these risks. He had no fear. This fearlessness is an exhibition of this empowerment by the Lord. Another part. Prabhupada knew he was asking his disciples to make a great sacrifice, but he could not avoid it. To preach Krishna consciousness, a devotee had to be prepared to tolerate many difficulties. And whatever difficulties he was asking his disciples to undertake, he was prepared to undertake to a much greater degree himself. So all these aspects of him sacrificing everything for the Supreme Lord show that he has those qualifications that are required for a empowered incarnation, empowered living entity. And also, Srila Prabhupada writes in here that he is the empowered incarnation of the devotional service of the Lord in the same lecture Srila Prabhupada has explained. So, now many people may say that sometimes people say, well, you know, it was foretold that there was going to be an avatara coming. You know, what's to say that it was Srila Prabhupada? Bhakti Sridhar Swami, Sridhar Maharaj, one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, explains, he said that Srila Prabhupada had been personally empowered by Lord Nityananda to give Krishna consciousness to everyone, everywhere in the world. After reading the poem Srila Prabhupada had written aboard the Jaladuta and on his arrival at Boston Harbor, he reasoned that at least by the time he had boarded the Jaladuta, Srila Prabhupada had emptied himself of all desires except to spread Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message. And very much like Lord Nityananda, who gave anyone and everyone he encountered the most valuable treasure of the chanting of Hare Krishna, in exchange for only a little faith, Prabhupada freely distributed the holy name of Krishna to anyone who showed even enough faith to stop and listen for a moment. Lord Nityananda distributed what amounted to free samples of the highest spiritual realization. Confident of those who tried the sample would want to buy his product, possibly becoming steady customers. So another aspect, as we were speaking about these different living entities, those living entities that are empowered to Dushta Sekshana, right? So Parashurama was empowered to destroy rogues, and Narada was empowered to give bhakti, and also that the four Kumaras were empowered to give transcendental knowledge. Well, if you look at Srila Prabhupada and his whole life, you can see that he actually exhibited even those three aspects or those three attributes of the Supreme Lord. We know that, as we know by reading Lilamrita and the other Prabhupada stories that people have, Prabhupada's disciples, when they've shared their stories about what state they were in. So he destroyed that rogue-like nature within their hearts and made them devotees. And then he also, we understand that he distributed all this transcendental knowledge. He distributed so much, how many books, so many, he translated all the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, so many literatures. And let me give a summary of exactly all the things that Prabhupada has done that will prove that it's overwhelming just to see how many things that Srila Prabhupada has done. He not only established Krishna consciousness, he established 108 Krishna temples on 6 continents, installed the deity of Krishna in each center, and trained the disciples in the process of deity worship. 32 new temples, almost 3 a month, were opened in a single year between 1970 and 1971. And so speaking about temples, I want to relate one of the pastimes in the Leelamrita, that what shows that Srila Prabhupada is empowered. So when Srila Prabhupada had gone to Australia, he had established devotees there. He had established deities there. He had established the deities of Radha Gopinath. And he had written in there that these devotees were not even ready to worship the Supreme Lord. And he explains that, says, this was only his second visit to Australia. On his first visit, almost a year ago, he had installed the deities of Radha Gopinath and had prayed to them. Now I am leaving you in the hands of the Mlechas. I cannot take the responsibility. You please guide these boys and girls and give them the intelligence to worship you very nicely. So at this time, the boys in Australia, they had no idea. They were just then, he had just initiated a few. They had no ideas about cleanliness, about how to cook, how to take care of the deities. But he knew he had to establish these temples. He knew he had to establish deity worship for the fulfillment of this mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because these are all the different aspects of our sampradaya, deity worship, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam. And so this is why these temples were established. And so he says here, now on returning and seeing the deities beautifully dressed and well cared for, he felt happy, for the devotees had started taking care of them very nicely. So you see that devotees, that aspect of changing the hearts of people, that making these rogues into fine devotees that are able to serve the Lord, is one of the different aspects. As far as transcendental knowledge, how many books did he publish? The monthly magazine Back to Godhead. He launched the ISKCON Life membership program. He founded the Bhaktivedanta Institute to advance Krishna consciousness with scientific community. He established the Bhaktivedanta Swami Trust. He wrote approximately 70 books on the science of Krishna consciousness, sleeping only a few hours per day. Scholars and educators from leading universities praised his. The Encyclopedia Britannica proclaimed that his voluminous translations from the original Sanskrit and his lucid commentaries have astounded literary and academic communities worldwide. This feat is even more astonishing considering the translations and commentaries were in English, which was a second language to the author. So this is his knowledge, the knowledge of Srila Prabhupada, the transcendental knowledge that he distributed. And it says, and in the Majjhima 25.9, another Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in the purport there, he said that without being empowered by the direct potency of Lord Krishna to fulfill his desire and without being specifically favored by the Lord, no human being can become the spiritual master of the world, whole world. He certainly cannot succeed by mental concoction, which is not meant for devotees or religious people. Only an empowered personality can distribute the holy name of the Lord and enjoin all fallen souls to worship Krishna. By distributing the holy name of the Lord, he cleanses the heart of the most fallen people. So not only has he changed the heart of all of the most fallen people, he extinguishes the blazing fire of the material world, but he also broadcasts the shining brightness of Krishna's effulgence throughout the world. Such an acharya, or spiritual master, should be considered non-different from Krishna. He should be considered the incarnation of Lord Krishna's potency. So, and he is Krishna Lingita Vigraha. That is, he is always embraced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you look at Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's definition, we can see that Srila Prabhupada was empowered, and empowerment is essential. So as we look back at history, we know that there are so many different swamis, sannyasis, whatever, that have come across, but how many people have it made so many devotees? He has at least 5,000 initiated devotees, if I remember correctly. So empowered, he's changed the hearts, he's distributed bhakti, he has translated all these books. And then some people may say that only if you have this empowered that he was qualified. And why was he qualified? So there's different verses from the different literatures. So I want to speak about a couple of verses. It talks about the Shakti, the avatara, or the Shakti Aveshavatara, the empowering living entity that is coming. So it says here, Bhakti Devi speaks to Narada. It says, Idam sthanam parityaja videsham gamyate maya. I will leave this place, Vrindavan, and travel to foreign lands. And this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahatmya. And it says, the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And a section of the Padma Purana, it tells the story about how bhakti can be revived in Kali Yuga through recital of Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan and came to America, the only thing that he had with him were the first couple of volumes of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he considered these his most important work. So we understand today that this Bhagavatam, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the daily recitation of the Bhagavatam, the reading of the Bhagavatam, is the foundation of our spiritual life, of every spiritual program. That was one aspect of this empowered incarnation, that he would bring over the Vedic scriptures, and Srila Prabhupada did. And then, of course, we have the verse from the Bhagavatam, which Krishna Svad Namagopate Dharma Jnana Adipasaha Kalo Nasa Drisham Nesha Puranarko Dhinoditaha, which that the Bhagavad Puran is brilliant as a sun and is arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion and knowledge. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in this age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So we understand the importance of the Bhagavad Purana, the transcendental literature that Srila Prabhupada brought over, one of the aspects empowered incarnation as exhibited by the four Kumaras. And then Lord Chaitanya explaining his reasons for his advent. So it's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Oh, it's from the Chaitanya Mangala, I think. Oh, it's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, taking the sharp sword of the congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, I will root out and destroy the demoniac mentality in the hearts of all conditioned souls. So here again, this Srila Prabhupada brought over the transcendental literature, Srila Prabhupada brought over the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and then so these foretold in the scriptures. So only somebody who is empowered can actually accomplish these things that are foretold in the Vedic scriptures. And then in the Chaitanya Mangala by Lochana Das Thakur, it's written, if some simple people escape and giving up religious principles go to far off countries, then my Senapati Bhakta will come at that time to give them Krishna consciousness. A Senapati, a military field commander, Bhakta, a devotee of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya will empower his own devotee to spread Krishna consciousness around the world. So again, I'm repeating myself, transcendental literature, and then the holy name. And then he was going to cross the ocean. He was going to go to far-off countries and do this, not only in India, but far-off countries. And, of course, the final Chaitanya Bhagavata, the one we all heard, in every town and village, the chanting of my name will be heard. So all these different verses, all these different I forgot the word. that were have been foretold, all these different things that have been foretold in the future, that have been prophesied, that's it. All these different prophecies that have been foretold have come to pass in the life of Srila Prabhupada. And then, of course, many, Srila Prabhupada, I mean, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also had sent over different of his disciples to different countries, and they made some headway, but not as much as Srila Prabhupada had. So, and in Srila Prabhupada's own life, in his own childhood, in his own horoscope, it was prophesied that after his 70th year, he would establish many temples outside India. So all these different prophecies, all these different examples, and all these different, oh my goodness, I'm forgetting so many words, opulences that have been exhibited by Srila Prabhupada prove that he is empowered as by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by Lord Krishna, by the Divine Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And one more thing that I want to talk about is his changing the heart of so many different people. And this was Govindadasi. I guess I cannot find where I put Govindadasi, but there is a part in there where Srila Prabhupada explains that, or Govindadasi explains that even though Srila Prabhupada only spent a few minutes, many times Srila Prabhupada only spent a few minutes with different of his disciples, but that few minutes was enough to change, completely change their understanding, completely empower them also to do exactly what Srila Prabhupada requested them to do. Excuse me one second. I want to find something that I wanted to read, and I cannot see if I find it. And the other, I guess I'll just say this since I can't find it. No, I can't find it. So, and I think I might have, oh, Krishna, the minute I say I can't find it, it comes up. Not only did Srila Prabhupada, I think one other aspect that is even much more revealing about the potency of Srila Prabhupada is that many times, obviously, many of the devotees haven't even come in contact with Many of his disciples who were changed just by reading scriptures, they hadn't even met Srila Prabhupada. So we know many, even some of the Krishna. I'm sorry, my mind is lost. Even the older disciples of Srila Prabhupada hadn't even come in contact with him, yet they were changed just by reading the books. So one thing that I wanted to read also was, I think maybe many of you people have also read this, but this was a homage that Sivaramaswamy had given for Srila Prabhupada during his Vyasa Puja. And this all not only shows the aspect of different people who have come in contact with Srila Prabhupada, who haven't met him, who only read his books, who have changed, have become changed. But this one letter that Sivaramaswamy, this was actually a letter that was written to Sivaramaswamy, and he actually translated it and was part of his homage to Srila Prabhupada. And I think I have time. It will take me a couple of minutes to read it. Please bear with me. I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted. People were going in and out, and I got distracted. It's okay. This was a letter written to Sivaram Swami, and he actually put this in part of his homage to Srila Prabhupada. So the letter goes, Hare Krishna, dear Sivaram Swami, Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. I hope you do not mind my writing to you. I have never written to a spiritual master before. You do not know me. My name is Bhaktindora, and I live in Pex, Hungary. I am 14 years old, and I live at home with my mother and older sister. Some years ago, I went to the Hare Krishna festival with a friend. I was not very interested, but I enjoyed the chanting and dancing at the end. After it was over, I bought a book, The Science of Self-Realization. I don't know not why. Generally, I never read. I think it was because of the chanting. I took the book home and cannot remember what happened to it. One day, my mother found it and was very angry with me. She thought that I was reading this kind of thing. You see, our family members are all very strict Catholics. They thought Krishna consciousness was some kind of brainwashing. Actually, I wasn't reading the book. I had forgotten all about it. Somehow, it just appeared. Anyway, my mother was going to throw it away. My grandmother, who is 68, was in the kitchen at the time. She lives in the apartment upstairs. She came in and took the book. She looked at it and scolded me in a very heavy way. I thought that would be the end of it. I did not mind so much, as I was in a lot of maya at the time. About a week later, I overheard a conversation between my mother and grandmother. Granny was saying that this was not some ordinary book. She read that what Prabhupada was saying is what Jesus Christ said and that Krishna is God. I was very surprised. She said we should listen to what Prabhupada said and chant Hare Krishna because that was the religion for this age. There was a lot of talk about how Christianity was no more and no one was following the Bible, but what Prabhupada said was pure and perfect. Things really took a turn from there. One day, my grandmother visited the Namahatta and began to chant on beads. She also began to buy Prabhupada's books one by one. She was spending all her pension buying what she called the beautiful holy Bhagavatam. Sometimes she could only afford to eat potatoes, but she kept buying the books. The devotees even came to her flat and helped her set up an altar. When I went upstairs, there were Krishna pictures everywhere. That was really the beginning. One night, Granny had a dream about Prabhupada. Something really happened to her then. I don't know what it was, but she began to get very enthusiastic. Next, she began to get the whole family involved. I mean, not just me and my mother and sister, but her two sons, their wives, and six children, as well as their brothers, sisters, and relatives. Before, she used to carry a Bible with her and quote Jesus Christ. Now she has a Bhagavad Gita and quotes the good Lord Prabhupada. She became a veritable transcendental terror. Everyone in the family has to chant at least one round a day. In addition, Granny made everyone become a vegetarian, including my dog, Sikra, and we offer our food to a picture of Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. Now I'm also getting out of maya and chanting and reading a little also. Where I go to school, my friends inquire about Krishna since they know I am a devotee. The whole family goes to the Namahatta, all 16 of us. During the Christmas marathon, we all try to distribute Prabhupada's books. Even Granny would take books with her to the market and sell them to the vendors. Everyone is afraid of her because she is fearless. They all think she has gone crazy, but she doesn't care. Now she is saving to go to Budapest to see the newly installed deities. She has said that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda came to Hungary and are being worshipped there by devotees. She says she wants to see God just once in this life. At this year's Hare Krishna festival, you were speaking to the guests after Kirtana. You must remember my grandmother because she came and sat right beside you and asked you so many questions. In the end, when you stood to leave, she even kissed your hand, remember? I also wanted to ask a question, but I was shy. Could I please ask you now? I hope you do not mind. I want to know what kind of man Srila Prabhupada was. He must be so dear to Krishna to have spread this message all over the world. What are these books that changed my family so much? How is it possible that he can speak so powerfully through them? You must feel very fortunate to be his disciple. How great a man he is. Sometimes when my granny chants in front of a picture of Krishna, she cries. How does Prabhupada do that? I want to cry like that. Granny dreams of Prabhupada, and sometimes she talks with picture. Although it says on the cover of the book that he passed away, is Prabhupada really dead or is he still alive? Do you think I can meet him someday? I am so sorry I've gone on, so I would like to be a good devotee one day and help you and Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness. Please could you answer my question? So, this child, this family, never even came in contact with Srila Prabhupada. Never even, I mean, when she was reading the book, she never even met devotees. She, that right there, the transcendental literature is empowered itself, but to be able to change the hearts of people that they've never even met proves that Srila Prabhupada is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He exhibited all the qualifications that Srila Prabhupada himself explains in that. The main symptom that he's always glorifying the Lord. As you read, there's never a time that Srila Prabhupada thought about anything except for Krishna. As Srila Maharaj explained, he had gotten rid of every other desire that he had except to spread the mission of Lord Chaitanya. He was the symptom of glorifying the Lord, the symptom of sacrificing everything, the symptom of his abilities and his influence, his abilities of being able to translate all those books in such a short period of time, his ability to establish all those temples, to create all those devotees, to open the hearts of every single solitary person who he met, who he did not meet, who only read his books, those, you know, giving the transcendental knowledge, bringing over the Hare Krishna Mantra, bringing over the Srimad Bhagavatam, all those different prophecies that were foretold, fulfilled all those. So we can see that this empowerment is given for somebody who was qualified. And Srila Prabhupada's qualification was his pure love for his Supreme Personality of Godhead and his complete faith in his Guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So with that, I will stop there. I'm so sorry I got distracted in between. People kept coming in and out of the room and lost my train of thought. But I hope I shared something. I hope I was able to glorify Srila Prabhupada. You know, as I was reading all this stuff about Prabhupada, I was just overwhelmed. There was so much that he did. You know, every single every Friday when we read the Lilamrita, I become my respect and my awe of what Srila Prabhupada has accomplished. It grows day by day. And all the sacrifices he went through, we can really see the sacrifices that he went through by looking at, by reading his Lilamrita and all those different things he had to go through, you know, just to be able to spread this movement of Krishna consciousness. Thank you, everybody. Please forgive me for my bumbling, but I hope I was able to share something. Thank you very much. Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Vandavat, Sargaris, Srila Prabhupada. What an ecstatic session this was. I really love the way the class bloomed, actually right from the symptoms of Ashakti Avesha Avatar, how you started the class, very, very nicely presented. And then you covered how Srila Prabhupada is a Shakti Avesha Avatar. This is so good. This is so good. And everything fits in so perfectly. And the way you explain them with references, amazing, Mataji. Really, thank you so much for such a beautiful compiling. Very, very interested to you. Hare Krishna.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yes, all glories to Maharaj.
All glories. Anyone else wants to ask questions, comments? Please go ahead. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. And always, whenever somebody gives class, you give comment and ask questions. So I always think that you should give class. And today, like, my wish came true. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you. All glories to Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Paneshwari Lakshmi Mataji. Very nice class, and you also recite related pastimes of Sri Prabhupada. It's wonderful. Thank you very much. Very nice class. And I also had, like Shyama Gauri Mataji had a desire, I also wanted to hear you give a class, and somehow, by the mercy of Guru Gauranga, your desire is fulfilled. Thank you very much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Shuka Mataji, Mataji, please, please bless me that I can at least speak a few words. Thank you.
No, you did wonderful. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Paneshwari Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Augustula Prabhupada and Gurudev. Thank you very much for wonderful class. Thank you very much your valuable association. How nicely you have narrated all the Srila Prabhupada, Lilamruta, pastime Mataji. Thank you very much for your seva. Dandavat Pranam, Augustula Prabhupada and Gurudev.
Thank you, Vrinda Gopika. Thank you. You are so sweet. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Paneshwari Mataji. Thank you for sharing that story. I actually received that story via email several years ago, but it was, and I don't remember what my frame of mind was when I read it that first time, but I'm glad that you refresh my memory about it, because it was nice to hear it in the context of the fact that it illustrates how powerful Srila Prabhupada was, that he could have that effect on people even though he wasn't physically on the planet. So regardless, I don't know what my frame of mind was when I read it the first time, but it's nice to hear that story through that lens, you know. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
And yeah, actually, you know, all this time I thought your name, until they announced on the group chat with your that you would be the one giving the class, up until then I thought that your name was Shameshwari instead of Saneshwari. So now I'm wondering. Yeah, and I thought it was so nice because my daughter is Shameshwari, Shameshwari Prema. So I thought that you two shared the same name a little bit. So now I'm wondering what Saneshwari means. Controller of, I don't know, something.
Actually, my Guru Maharaj explained, because I asked him also, Saneshwari Lakshmi. So Guru Maharaj was explaining that is the Mahavishnu, is the African Mahavishnu from where all the incarnations emanate. And it's the Lakshmi that worships that Mahavishnu. So it's Saneshwari Lakshmi. That is Saneshwari Lakshmi. That's what he explained. And it's interesting that he gave me that name, because I had been chanting the Vishnu Sahasranamam during that Purushottam Mas in that year before I got initiated and had a kind of attachment to that. So it was interesting that Guru Maharaj named me that name.
Oh, nice,
so,
nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, nice connection. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for class, and thank you for tolerating all the disturbances to give us this, you know, this illustration of Srila Prabhupada's empowerment. Thank you.
Yeah. I was thinking you would have a question, Gaurangi Mataji. No question?
Well, that was my question. What does your name mean?
Okay.
Hello. Yeah. Hey, Mataji.
Oh, to follow up on what she was asking, so Parni, that is Parni Ishwari or Parni, it means Vishnu is reclining on...
Can you speak a little louder, please?
Yeah, we can't hear.
Does it mean Vishnu reclining on the snake? Does it have anything to do with the Adisesha snake?
Yeah, that's what I understood. That's what I understood from his...
Okay.
That's what I understood, because it's the lying on the snake, that, you know, the Anantasesha, obviously, you know, basically. So that's why it's Mahavishnu.
Oh, okay.
My given name is Pani. My birth name is Pani. And so my husband's request was that not to change my name too much, and so Guru Maharaj gave me Pani Sri Lakshmi. That was
okay.
But your given name, Pani, was that Fanny?
No. It's Phani. The H is silent. It's Pani.
Oh.
Okay. That's nice.
So this word "sani" in Sanskrit, it means something about lying on the bed of snakes, something like that.
No. Sorry.
The name Pani actually itself, Pani is the hood of a snake.
Yes.
Pani means that who has a hood, this that with a hood, which is a cobra, in other words, right?
Yes.
So it's actually not Pani, it's just, you know, and why, I don't know if that is a complete name itself. I don't know if it is. There's
so
very few people.
Yes.
Pani, yeah.
Yes.
So Parneshwari Lakshmi. So in other words, that Pani, since that snake is there, Parneshwari is the luck, is Mahavishnu who's lying on that snake.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lakshmi is the Lakshmi who worships that Mahavishnu. And Srila Prabhupada,
yeah,
Guru Maharaj explained that that is the Mahavishnu from where the emanations of all the incarnations. So I think that is Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu from where all the incarnations come.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that right?
Kshirodakshaya Vishnu.
Okay, so it's Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu is from whom all the emanations incarnate. So that is that. So that's the, it's that Vishnu. The Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu, it's the Lakshmi Devi that is worshipping that Vishnu.
Oh, okay.
That's what, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's not Mahavishnu, it's Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu.
Right, so Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu, right, exactly.
Hare Krishna, Parneshwari Mataji. Can I share one? I don't know if you may have shared the pastime of Srila Prabhupada, but
please.
What do you call the foretelling, something like that? So when Krishna was in Dwarka, all these holy rivers went to see the Lord, Ganga, Jamuna, Saraswati, all this, and they say, you know, they glorify the Lord and then glorify Krishna and say, we are wondering that so many people come and take a bath and dump their sins in our water. And we are getting all the sins. So then they become purified. But what about us? How we can become purified? So then Krishna said, don't worry. My Senapati comes, and with him there are so many of the devotees, like, you know, Mahajans, very chanting the holy name of the Lord. They will be coming and they will chant here, and all your sins, all the sins that you have collected, will be absolved, will be dissolved. So they will be purifying. So that's what Prabhupada has done. This he has taken the holy name all around the world, and devotees from all around the world, they are going to different places, and they are also traveling, you know, all over the India, so many rivers in the south, north, west, east, everywhere, and they are chanting the holy name. So it's a Prabhupada's mercy. This is what I'm saying.
Thank you, Mataji. Yes, thank you for sharing that. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so
it's very
nice.
And also Bhakti Devi herself also has proclaimed.
Yeah, exactly.
That you must know that.
I think that's the one that I shared in the beginning.
Oh, okay, because I joined late, so that's why I didn't hear.
That's okay, no problem, yeah.
Sorry. Thank you very much. Very, very nice class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Agosh Prabhupada.
English Prabhupada and Prabhupada's
devotees. All glories to Prabhupada. Any other questions, comments? Any other corrections, please, if I, you know, like I said, since I feel I'm with family, I can make mistakes and you guys will sweetly, compassionately correct me. Okay, Mataji, I think, Preeti Vilasan Mataji, I think there's no more questions.
Okay, thank you all so much. Thank you so much, Mataji, again, for this very beautiful class, and thanks to everyone for joining and enthusiastically participating. So we can end up all. पतितानां भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. अनन्तकोटि वैष्णववृन्दकि जय श्रील प्रभुपादकी
जय. विष्णुपाद भरामति परिवराजिकाचार्य स्तोत्र भागवत
Thank you. Mm-hmm.